Hey, gamers, trainers, Pokemon, welcome to another episode of Pokemon's Health, Pokemon Meets Men's Health. I'm your host, Roy Flash Gordon, here with my guest today, Joshua Lorsey. What's good, bro?
Yo, what's up, guys? What's going on? Appreciate you having me here, man. I've been watching what you've been doing, and I really do like what you're doing in the Pokemon community. So I just want to congratulate you and thank you for what you've been doing with this whole podcast stuff and men's health. And I really do appreciate it.
Hey man, thank you so much for that. I'm trying to, figuring out as I go, trying to do my best and just, saw a great opportunity to connect the community in some different ways. It helps, I feel like the game does a lot to already bring us together and give us community. We just hear community, but that means like so many things. It means friends, it means support, it means people to hang out with, and it's just a beautiful thing. And I'm just grateful you guys let me be a part of it, accepting me the way you have. It's been really cool.
No, I mean, the one thing I can say about this community, we're very welcoming. Doesn't matter what background, where you came from. I mean, for the most part, we take anybody in, so
Yeah,
appreciate
dude,
that.
it's been dope. It's been dope. Just tossing it to the folks real quick. Remember, I do have a Discord for Pokemon's Health, and in there, we do all the things. You can get a little extra support if you're looking for it. You can just talk about the game, have fun with all that. So we find the link for that in the description. That said, we're gonna hop right in with my man Lorsey here. And Lorsey, again, just really excited to get to chat with you. I think I maybe met you in person for first time in Peoria, but I've seen you on stream and whatnot, and you are a man who needs no introduction. So I'm very good, very, very happy to get to chat with you a little bit more and learn some more about you. For the folks at home, let us know how old are you, where you're from, and what do you do for a living?
All right, so I am Joshua Lorsey. I'm 26 years old. I'm a police officer. I've been a police officer for about 5 years, going on 6 in January. And yeah, I love Pokemon. I've been playing Pokemon.
That's what's up, bro. Fun fact, I used to be a police officer, Chicago police officer. I did it for,
What?
yeah, dude, I did. I was,
What?
yeah, dude. I did it. I did it just a year. I did the academy. I did the street for a little bit, but at the same time, I was a professional wrestler, and it was kind of like a crossroads for me. Like, if I wanted to try to make it, I had to commit to that. If I wanted to have a decent job, I needed to, commit to that. And I decided to, chase pro
I didn't know
wrestling.
that. It's
Yeah,
crazy. You
dude, I didn't
never
know you were one. That's super
know,
dope. That's super
yeah.
dope, man. It's a challenging place to be, I'm sure.
Very political place to be in a time like this, especially a person of color, right? But as long as you know your true intentions and who you are as a person, it shouldn't change who you are, if you
Yeah.
understand what I'm trying to say. So
Hell
I'm
yeah.
very true to myself. I don't I very I'm a, I guess a realist. I don't really switch up no matter if I'm playing Pokemon, if I'm at work. I'm just
Yeah.
who I am at the end of the day. So
That's beautiful, man. That's vibes. That's vibes, and I love that message. Can you share with us, how did you get into Pokemon? Like, what was your first gen? What did it look like for you getting into competitive? And you're just not, well, let's put that out there. You're just not any competitor. You are someone considered top competitor, been in the game a long time, very good at this game. Can you share with us about your journey just from, being a kid playing to becoming a successful VGC competitor?
Okay, so I've been playing Pokemon ever since the start. I believe I started, I think, with Red and was it Red and Yellow? Interesting enough, I've been playing since the beginning, but one point in my life was that it was on Thanksgiving, and my cousins, I'm very, very family oriented for the most part. I really do love my family. But I at the time, forgot what year, how old I was, but I was very young at the time, and my cousins who lived like 4 or 5 hours away from me, we all come down, big Thanksgiving, and I got really sad because they were leaving and stuff like that. And they left me one of the games to play just so that I could, keep myself, occupied and not, cry and stuff like that. And ever since then, I just really had a passion for Pokemon. Like I just liked playing the game. Just beating the story was just like amazing for me. Going through the Elite Four, fighting Lance and things like that. Like it was just, it felt rewarding. Pokemon's a game that feels rewarding, no matter if you play competitively or casually. Because when you're a casual player and you're at the beginning steps of playing Pokemon, it's like you get your first, second, third, fourth badge. You got to go and fight your rival and stuff like that. It makes you feel good, right? It's a good feeling when you're playing. So that's why I've always enjoyed Pokemon. Like I played a variety of games. I played Call of Duty. I played fighting games, and I don't, the sense of like feeling good is not, nothing compares to it when you're like playing Pokemon, especially if like from a casual and a competitive standpoint.
Can
So,
I say, that when you bring up like the growth you get to feel and like the rewards you get, I feel like I feel that feeling. I remember it of defeating Lance for the first time. And you're like, I did it. I did
I
it.
did it.
And then you walk through the door and you gotta fight Gary and you're like, what?
What?
You know, like I feel that shit from back in the day. Like it makes memories like that, dude.
So ever since then, I fell in love with the game. Then the GameCube had Pokemon Colosseum and Pokemon XD Gale of Darkness. That's what really, like, I was like, wow, like I'm actually like doing like missions and stuff like that and trying to save these shadow Pokemon. And that game was like really just touched me a lot. And Pokemon Channel too. Like when I didn't want to play competitive too much, I played Pokemon Channel to kind of just ease the mood. It's not battle style game. I forgot what was involved in the game, but it was completely different than your just original, Pokemon game. So it was fun playing that too. And also keeping up with the anime too, right? The Battle Frontier was really touching time for me because on weekends, on Saturday, I think they were playing it on W. I forgot what channel it was on, but don't mind the channel. They were playing it on Saturdays, and my mom would go to work and do overtime a lot of the time and drop me at my grandparents' house. So like every Saturday or something like that, my mom would just, take me to the deli, get me like a bacon, egg, and cheese with a strawberry. I still remember this: bacon, egg, and cheese with a strawberry Nesquik. Drop me at my grandparents, so she knew that was my favorite meal. And Pokemon would start at like 9 o'clock in the morning, and I was just ready to go and stuff like that. And just having the games and just watching it, like I've just always just loved being around Pokemon. Even when I was in grade school, like my friends, we used to play after school. We used to bring our games, connected and play and stuff like that. So I've always been around it. Now, as for VGC, I went through a weird time in high school, right? I grew up in New York, Queens, New York. The idea of like anime and like Pokemon and like things of that nature wasn't too like it was I don't want to say it was frowned upon, but like the cool kids were not doing that, and I wanted to feel, I guess, a part of the cool club. So I kind of like, all right, Pokemon, I gotta put you to a side. I need to go play Call of Duty. I need to be this like a whole different person than I what I what I what I'm normally am. And don't get me wrong, like, Call of Duty was fun. It was just like I just wanted to do what the guys were doing. You know what I mean? Just wanted to do what the guys were
Madden.
doing. Madden, all that, NBA 2K. Like I was playing all of that. And playing basketball and stuff like that. Just keeping myself active and just following what other people were doing because I was so sheltered as a kid. And when I got exposed to high school and when I was allowed to like, take public transportation by myself and all that, it was like a whole new world for me. So I just wanted to kind of see how it was to be somebody. Oh, I'm still myself, but just kind of be somebody else because it's not my natural day-to-day thing that I was doing once I just got into high school. So I ended up dropping Pokemon for a bit in high school. And one day I was on YouTube. I think this was my senior year. I was on YouTube and I used to play the ROMs. I used to play Pokemon on the computer. When I got bored, I would like play Emerald or something like that, load it up and start playing. And from there, I was like, oh, I wonder if people still play Pokemon. Like, I wonder if there's like a competitive scene to it because I played Call of Duty and I played other games and I've always like was interested in competitive play. Like, I'm a very competitive person at nature. So from there, I just saw a battle. I think it was Ray. No. It was Judy and the Pachirisu, Senjin. And I was just like, what? Like the field, like the big monitors and the crowd. I'm like, whoa, this is insane. Like this is what people are doing? Nah. Then I fell into like a deep lore of like VGC related stuff. And from there, I got a 3DS. I got Pokemon X and Y. I'm on Twitch. I'm getting into Smogon. That's when I saw the VGC stuff, but I was very interested in Smogon singles. Kept up with Shady Penguin, Shofu. Shout outs to those guys because without them, I don't think I would really be too interested in Pokemon because I started watching them first and then got into VGC. I just liked funny Pokemon content, and I felt like those guys brought a lot of good stuff for Pokemon that made me interested because it was like You guys are like adults and you guys are playing Pokemon.
Yeah.
And in high school, it was like, bro, we don't do that. You know what I mean? So it was just
Yes,
like a
yes.
weird, like, it was just a weird interaction for me. But I, like I said, I just enjoyed Pokemon. And yeah, those guys really definitely made a mark on me into playing the game. Now, let me see where I could touch upon what was really like groundbreaking for me. I decided to go to my first competition. And I'm EV training my po I'm EV training my Pokemon. Also, I'm not even like too like well versed on it at the time, so I ended up like we'll get into it, but I ended up EV training my Pokemon in the wrong stats, but I ended up top cutting my first event. But we'll dive into that a little bit.
Yes,
I don't
yes.
know if you saw the video that I uploaded of me in high school on Twitter. There was a video that I uploaded. I'll probably share with you after the podcast, but it was a video my friend recorded me in my senior year because I decided, you know what, I like this game, I'm gonna play it. I brought my 3DS to school one day, these guys are recording me climbing, whatever the case may be, and he ended up getting he showed me a footage of me playing. Like, I'm super young, I'm sitting on the table and I'm just like, my boy's like, yo, look at this guy playing Pokemon. And I'm just like saying like, oh man, like I'm one of the best players, yo, I'm gonna show you a battle, I'm gonna show you a battle, whatever. At the time, I was not one of the best players. I have not competed in a competition. I have no, like, there's no Lorsi. Like, I'm Joshua at this point because a lot of people just call me Joshua, right? Past that, you know, I go to my first competition. I went with one of my boys from high school. He's also a cop now, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, that's
Yeah,
wild.
and he's into Pokemon too.
Nice.
I actually spoke to him today too, which is just kind of crazy. But
Love.
so I got we went to my first battle. It was in Brooklyn. I was watching Cybertron for a little bit before because I wanted to get a feel of like how to play competitive Pokemon, and I ended up playing James Beck. James Beck was my first opponent. Everybody
No.
knows James Beck is one of the best Pokemon players of all time,
Yeah.
and I beat him. Yeah,
Holy
I beat him.
shit.
I beat him.
That's
I beat him.
amazing.
Yeah, I remember it clear as day. I had Gastrodon and I just ended up beating him, and I was like, I didn't know at the time he's not the James that he is today, right? But he
No.
was definitely very good, and I took that, you know, I took that like I'm like, wow, this is interesting.
It's amazing.
Get into top cut. I played Aaron. It's best of three. I was my first best of three. I got absolutely demolished. And the reason why I think I also like stick to playing VGC is because of his mannerisms after the match. I love you, Aaron. I love you, Aaron. But like I said, I'm a competitive person at heart. He beats me and he starts to leave the I take a picture with him and he starts to leave. I'm like, wait, you're not playing the top four match? He's like, nah, I gotta go to a dinner. And he throttled me bad. I'm like, whoa, this guy just beat me and he just walks out like it's nothing. I'm like, no. I gotta get good at this game because I just didn't like that. You know what I mean? I just like that. He didn't do he did absolutely nothing wrong, but it's just I was like being competitive nature, you're just like, wow, I feel disrespected. I'm like I felt like nobody, like, you know what I mean? So I ended up taking the game seriously. And yeah, now we're here.
So what did that switch look like for you? What turned on from where you were to, oh, I'm taking this seriously now because like that competitor switch is on. Like what changes
Dude,
did you make?
oh man, I was playing Pokemon like probably 16 hours a day, bro.
Wow,
Yeah,
shit.
I was on Showdown for like 16 hours a day. I was working at Walgreens at the time, part time, so I had a lot of free time. I was going through a lot of stuff in my life personally too, so like Pokemon was like an escape, and
Totally.
also I was using it as fuel to get better too, you know. So I was doing a lot, watching a lot, and the next year I ended up being top eight in North America in championship points, like. So my first full year competing, I was top eight in championship points, and I got the free flight to Worlds, and I was a day two Worlds competitor. It's kind of crazy. Sometimes it feels like unreal that happened. You know what I mean? It feels like something that you would watch in a movie kind of thing. You know?
Totally, dude. That's baller as hell. Your first year into top eight in the entire fucking world. That's super dope. So, and you were dedicated though. It sounds like you that the switch got flipped and you were like in. That's
Yeah, man. One thing I will say, something weird. Like I tell every, I wasn't a scholar. Like in school, I wasn't a scholar. I was, like I said, I was following the crowd. I didn't see the value in school and stuff like that. But I definitely noticed that when I'm into something or I want to get good at something or I have a goal to accomplish, I don't stop until I feel that I've accomplished it or touched that threshold where it's like, okay, you're good. You're good at this point. And I don't know if it's just because of trauma of just always wanting to do something well in life or just wanted to have like good things in life or whatever the case may be. But it's always been like that. I've always been a hardworking person, not the smartest, but if you need somebody to go, dig a hole for 18 hours, I'll be that guy. You know what I'm trying to say? You know what I'm trying to say? So that's the kind of person that I am.
For sure, for sure. I remember one time you were on stream, you said something that just about not being rested or something along those lines. And I hear how hard you work. I hear it and I hear the passion for it. That's super dope. And I'm just wondering, are you getting enough rest? You know, are you giving yourself, do you, or how are you with taking that rest and giving yourself just that space to be like, all right, I've worked hard enough. Let me give myself a pat on the back and chill for a second before I get back to it.
So, last year my dog passed away, right? And it was a very tough time, and I took a lot of the time to just not like I like I said, I like to work hard, I do overtime at work and stuff like that. So I didn't do anything. I kind of just stayed home for the most part and got into, I wouldn't say a dark place, but at the same time, that's when I started streaming more, which kind of like helped balance it out a little bit. I'm a very reserved dude. I kind of keep to myself. I'm like I'm super minimalist, keep to myself. I don't really hang out, I don't party anymore like that. I'm kind of at that past that
Totally.
stage in my life now. I'm like, all right, enough to make me happy is like hanging on Discord with my friends and then going to work and occasionally, like I'll check up and see my friends and stuff like that, but nothing too crazy anymore, right? And especially for what I do, I don't want to get involved in anything crazy.
Absorb
But
first.
yeah, I was in a dark time, so just a lot going on. I recently I got out of a bad relationship the beginning of last year, and like I've been with this person for a very long period of time, like I basically from high school to now, I guess basically to now. And it's just like when you lose somebody that you basically grew up with, like it's very hard to like I don't live life normally because it's just so weird, because it's like your normal day-to-day is obviously dealing with that person, and when that person's no longer there, it's kind of like just strange. But
It's huge
that happened in
investment.
the yeah, it's a huge investment, and that's why I don't like making it doesn't have to be even like a intimate relationship, but I'm just saying relationships in general. I'm very particular on who I want to make have a like a bond with, because I wouldn't say I have attachment issues, but I definitely care about the people that I'm attached to a lot. Like I put my heart on my sleeve for these people. So it's like, especially if you feel betrayed by a person or whatever the case may be, it's not a good feeling, and you don't ever want to feel that feeling. So that happened in the beginning of the year, and I was slowly, coming back to who I am as a person. And then my dog passed away. So it's like I got hit twice. You know what I mean? Like, damn. And yeah, it was tough. But at the same time, like, I believe that everything happens for a reason, right? And I was able to overcome. I'm still healing, but I was able to overcome a lot by doing the things that I like to do and want to do. You know what I mean? And Pokemon definitely, like I say it all the time, Pokemon saved my life. I've never been suicidal. I've never had suicidal thoughts or stuff like that. But the reason why I say Pokemon saved my life is because like I don't know what I would be doing in like all these dark times of my life, like even the beginning stages of like my adolescence and stuff like that. I just always found Pokemon as escape because I didn't have friends. Like my mom didn't allow me to like go hang out. She was very like busy and stuff like that. And she's the only parent. She was the only parent in my life at the time. So it's like she doesn't want her kids to be somewhere where she doesn't know while she's working and doing all these crazy stuff and stuff like that. So like I was literally just stuck at home with my Game Boy and my GameCube, and that was pretty much it. So Pokemon was just pretty much all I played, and the reason why I say Pokemon is like a really good feeling game. It's like we were talking about earlier. It's just the accomplishment of just achieving stuff in the game, and then it's a very also if you're not like super well versed on the game. At the time in the beginning of my time playing Pokemon, I wasn't like who I am today. When like if I play the game now, I could probably beat it in like 10 hours, but back then, it was a lot different. Like it probably take me like at least 2, 3 days of time, like maybe 48 to 48 to like 64 some hours or whatever to beat the game. Just a lot of time investment was put into the game that it made me happy. And I guess it probably affected like the dopamine in me, like this is what I like to do. This is that rush. This is that good feeling. So I did that for a little bit. Play Pokemon. I was streaming a lot too. I don't know if you kept up with any of my streams. I was streaming a lot from probably from September to maybe January. And a lot of people didn't know. Like, I mean, people know about my dog's passing, but a lot of people didn't know. Like, I wasn't okay. I wasn't okay, you know? And I was dealing with a lot. And I don't like to share that. You know what I mean? I don't want my com the people that, you know, follow me or support me to feel bad, you know, in a sense. Like, everything
Definitely.
happens for a reason. I'm okay, but a lot of people just don't know. Like, you might see a smile, you might see a laugh, you might see like just us having a good time. But when that, you know, the button is not live anymore and stuff like that, there's people that are hurting behind that, behind these cameras, behind the scenes, basically. So it's like, it's a lot to take in, especially like when you're busy too. You know what I mean? I got work, I got this, I got that. I want to do this, I want to do that. I'm a very like busy. Always, there's always something. There's always something, right? And I think that me keeping myself busy helped me a lot to deal with a lot
Definitely.
of pain that, you know, that I've gone through. So.
Definitely, man. I do remember those times, and I just am someone who can see these things when I see a person, and I just like, you seem like awesome, and like you said, like the smile is there, and I'm just like, it feels like there's something heavy though. It just feels like there's something heavy, and maybe it's like confirmation bias, because a lot of guys are dealing with something heavy and they're just trying to work their way through it. And it's like, I know personally for me, when I'm going through something, it's a little scary to stop, because it's like, well, shit, now I gotta like feel it, I gotta like deal with this a little bit further. So I definitely understand the desire to keep moving while going through stuff. Yeah, that's awesome, man. That's awesome. Thanks for sharing that with us.
Yeah, of
Now,
course.
next question here is on the idea of masculinity. I've recently kind of changed how I ask this question, just to just let you like claim, what this means to you as much as possible. And it's the question is, what does it mean for you to be a man? Like, how do you feel like you express that part of your life?
So interesting
Or
enough,
how
I
it's
grew up
affected you
like I had
even.
my masculine. Okay. So I would say from the jump, I was raised by females, basically. My mom, my sister, my grandma. My grandpa was around too, but like majority like of my time was spent around being around females. And that was my comfort area, to be honest. Like I liked being around like women. You know what I mean? I just felt very comfortable because I guess my mom was very nurturing. My sister was pretty cool. And my grandma was very nurturing as well. So I've always felt comfort around them. And I, like I said, and when I grew up, especially in elementary school, I wasn't athletic. I was a nerd. I was just like, I liked my video games and that was it. And when I would pay attention to how the boys in my grade school would act, like, you know, they're like playing basketball, they're playing baseball, you know, they're trying to say they got six packs and stuff like that. And I wasn't really interested in that stuff until I got to high school. That's when I started, you know, I wanted to be that kind of guy where I got get fit, you know, play basketball and stuff like that. But in terms of masculinity, I would say like how I perceive like being a man is now is it's a good question. It's a very good question. I never really thought of this. So this is tricky for me. I want to answer this correctly. I gotta think for a second. I'm 26 years old, right? I'm at that stage where I don't want to say I'm not dating to mess around. I'm dating to marry, I would say. So in terms of that aspect, I would say like in a relationship aspect, I would want to be my partner's shield. You know what I mean? That shield for my partner. I want to be able to provide and help them in any way possible and try to make sure that they don't ever have a need or want to feel insecure about anything in their life. Anything that I could help them with, I want to be able to provide. Anything that we could talk about, we could provide. I'm your man and I got this. You know what I mean? I will help you. And I think that comes from like seeing my mom and stuff struggle and stuff and my grandparents' struggles. And stuff like my grandpa was always out there working and stuff like that. So, man, we're good. I mean, we're in good contact, but it was just like, I just thought that seeing that, that's what you need to do. But a lot of time it's emotionally, and also doing your part as a man to, getting out there and, being that supportive partner as well, So I think it's a touchy topic. It's a touchy topic for sure. For me to answer it correct, I don't think there's no correct answer for anybody. It's different for everybody. I think
That's
that's
funny.
the issue. So what I would say is, like I said, I want to be a provider for the person that I'm with. That makes me feel like a man. As for me as a man, I think working hard, right? Working hard at whatever craft, whatever it is. It doesn't have to be physical labor. If you have a goal and you work to it, I feel like a lot of men, they don't stop until they achieve what they want in life. And I feel like that's fine. That's, but there's also time to take breaks and stuff like that, and focus on your mental, because you can't be this robot trying to get accomplish this goal, 24 hours, 7 days a week. You know what I mean? You need time to rest as well. So I would say for sure, just, accomplishing my goals in life, being a provider in my relationship, and physical fitness, I would say would be up there. Something that I'm not doing too great in that department. I used to be very fit, but as the job and working and stuff, I'm getting back, but I'm not who I was 4 years ago. You know what I'm trying to say?
Totally feel
So
you.
I think that fitness is another thing that, just that testosterone buildup of just, working out and stuff like that could also attribute to, how to feel like a man. 'Cause like the idea of a man is somebody, when you say the word man, like I feel like people view a 6'4" muscular, you know what I mean, fit person. But it's not always about that. But perception is different in the eyes of everybody. So
Totally.
I would say that plays a certain aspect, but there's a lot of other entities that also provide the whole man figure. And I think that the three things that I mentioned, I think that's what I view as being a man, you know what I mean? And
Totally.
everybody has their own opinions when it comes to that. So I'm not trying to say this is the correct answer, but this is just how I view it. So,
I love asking the question because it allows listeners to hear ideas from everybody, and see that everybody does this thing a little bit differently, and that there's a lot of stuff that's shoved at us as you have to, you have to, you have to. And I wanted to just say against that as possible. It's like, you don't have to do anything, number one. But if you did this, this might make you feel more connected to your masculinity. If you did this, maybe this will make you feel more connected. It makes me feel more connected to my masculinity. And like people just seeing, there are examples of different ways that you get to be. You don't have to be what social media red pill shit is telling you have to be. You know
No.
what I mean?
Like the
Can't
whole,
stand
I'll be
it.
honest, the whole like Andrew like Tate, I know about the guy. Like, yeah, no, I'm not into any of that. Like, I'm not like, oh my God, bro, like, yeah, you gotta do this, do that, disrespect women, this, that, yo, that. I'm not,
Yeah,
I'm not, that's not my vibe.
totally.
I don't align with that. But like I said, the things that I said is what I, view myself as being a man. I just don't like, I guess like those kind of people, like it's like they have an agenda, you know what I mean? It's not, some of the stuff they could be saying could be okay, right? Whatever, but there's a true agenda. There's a bigger message that they want to be put out there, and I don't agree with it. I clearly just it's just not who I am.
Feel
Like I said,
that.
just and I think that what helped with that was just being around, women my whole life. Like,
Totally.
so like I understand like. Like I don't want to say I don't understand how it is to be a woman, but I will say I understand woman nature, because just being around them, you kind of just kind of know how to interact with them. You know what I mean? It's easier for me to talk to a female than it is for me to talk to a male, which is like interesting enough, because you would think like, oh man, I'm cool. I'm actually more reserved with a lot of the dudes than I am with my like my female friends and stuff like that. I have like two good female friends, and we keep in contact almost every day. We talk, we FaceTime, we keep it very platonical is the word. And a lot of these the message that's being put out there is like you can't talk to if a female talks to you as a friend, then it's like it means otherwise, but it's not the case. You know what I mean? It's just not the case. And I just don't like social media too much right now in terms of messages that are just being put out there, because it's almost like a form of brainwashing, you know, in the sense of like a lot of the things that these kids are seeing, they're thinking like it's 100% correct. You know what I mean? Like you see a lot of these messages that are being put out there, and the only thing I could say that could help people is that in your heart, you will always know what's right, right? You will always know what's right. So if you feel like something is weird, or you don't align with what somebody's saying, especially if it's being disrespectful to women and or men, or however you identify as, then you know, that's not something that you should probably be listening to, because the more you listen to it, the more you listen to stuff like that, or keep yourself around company that have ideals that don't fit right to you in your heart, it might alter you as a person or make you feel uncomfortable. So I would say just remove yourself from that completely. And that's why, like, when it comes to social media, like I keep it very like I want to say like limited with the content that I want to view. You know what I mean? So
Totally.
it's very draining. You know, a lot like if you all you got to do is this all day, and you will see a whole bunch of like messages and reels and stuff like that. And once you like one, it's th then it's they're gonna bring
Show you
stuff,
more.
show you more of what you like. You could like tap something by accident that you don't even agree with, and they'll just show it to you, and it'll start brainwashing you from there too. So like social media, I very keep it very I would say limited on like the stuff that I view. Like it's basically all my things like anime, Pokemon stuff, and motivational stuff. Like I, you know,
Yeah,
pretty
that's
much it.
beautiful. That's
Yeah.
good stuff. I really appreciate it, and the stuff that you said about how you kind of how what man has meant to you, being a shield for a future partner. And I just there's just part of that that feels very noble, very loving to women. You know, I can only imagine the great relationships you have with the women in your family influence that desire. And I think that we as people, as humans, all humans need to take better care of each other. But like men, like have to acknowledge that historically there's been a lot of harm done to women by men. And I think there's part of like, hey, we need to care about this, you know. And we do that with our partners, we do that with our family. But can you do that for a friend? Can you do that for a neighbor? You know. And it's not about being chivalrous, but it's about like witnessing like some bullshit go down and, you know, being willing to stand with that person. You know what I mean? I think there's it's super important.
And I will say, I think that this new generation of kids, they're definitely more aligned to help women or be there for women and
Absolutely.
support women.
Yeah.
And it's dope seeing that, because you know, like I grew up in a household, like it was very different times. So it's like I don't want to get too into it, but it's just
Yeah.
like women aren't viewed too much as like a priority like men are. Like I would say back in the past, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like now we're shifting towards age where it's like, you know, woman empowerment, and we want to be there for women. We want to protect women. And I think it's dope. It's a message that needs to be put out there, because a lot of women are in fear of their lives, you know what I mean, with a
Yeah.
lot of the stuff that's going on in this day and age. And like it goes back to the messages that are being portrayed or putting out there. You have the kids are almost being brainwashed into like disrespecting and degrading and doing all this stuff to women. And I just, like I said, it's not something that I agree with or align with. And I think that for the most part, I, as being a shield, it's more than your partner. It could be, like you said, your friend, your coworker, your colleague. You, like you said, you know how it is. You've been around probably a work field where it's majority men, and there's like that one or two females that you work with, and you could tell like they feel a little uncomfortable when jokes are being made or stuff like that. And you know, sometimes you gotta be that message, be like, yo, guys, chill. Like, nah, we can't, you know what I mean? You know what I mean?
Totally.
Sometimes those little messages can make somebody just feel a little bit better. It just shows that you care. And I think that's very important. And I love this generation when it comes to that specifically, because they're not allowing the bullshit. You know what I mean? Like if they see it, they address it. You know what I mean?
Oh,
Because
yeah.
back in the day, it'd probably be a little bit more different, you know?
Yeah, big time, big time. Thanks for that. Next up, what just you described a few struggles, hard times. I was wondering if you had any more you'd like to say around any other mental health or emotional health times that were tough for you and ways that you kind of got through or managed them.
Okay. Well, I think everybody's not, I've been homeless before. My mom, so I've dealt with that. We lost our house and we had to live with a relative for a little bit and stuff like that. And like I just want to let people know it's okay to be in situations that don't make you feel comfortable. It's usually for it's momentarily, I would say. And momentarily it could be like 2 or 3 years, but as long as you know where you want to be in the end, and you have that passion and that drive to get out of whatever situation that you're dealing with, I think that I want to say, and I'm confident to say this, I want to say seven to eight times out of 10, you could overcome and get out of whatever you're dealing with if you have that want to do it, you know? After losing everything, I could have just said, nah, I don't want to work. I'm too like too much is going on. I've dealt with so much. I just want a break. But almost honestly just fueled me a little bit more, you know. Like I've been working hard since like I was 21. Ever since I was 21, I had to even take time away from what I loved, which was Pokemon, to focus on bettering myself and my life, which was like one of the hardest decisions that I made. But my first real job was working at American Airlines, and it was a real job, like 9 to 5, clocking in, and like I'm getting vacation days and PTO or whatever the case may be. And I didn't have time or the funds to go and play at a regional and stuff like that. I definitely still kept up with the game and kept up with some players and stuff like that. I played on Showdown and stuff like that. It was very hard to drop it for what I needed to do because I loved this game. You know what I mean? I loved VGC. I loved being around the community. And I felt like at that point when I dropped it, I felt like I could have definitely like maybe top cut worlds in like maybe 2017 where I couldn't go to worlds and stuff like that. I felt like I was one of the best players at the time. I just had the feeling like, damn, like I'm like one of the best, but I had to put it away. I had to focus on getting my mom and my sister in the house. I had to, you know what I mean? I had to be that man, that shield that we were talking about. So, dropping the game that I love for a little bit and not losing a footing coming back really was like kind of like a great feeling as well. Because when I came back, I was just kind of like, oh man, like I don't know if I can keep up with these guys. Like, these the player level is like insane now compared to back then. Like, it's about like 50 to 60 good players right now, I would say in VGC that are decent enough to, win an event, right? And now in the past, it was very good. You could pan pick a few. So like the game's evolving and it just kind of just made me feel uncomfortable in a sense. Like I was like, but then after, getting my feet wet and getting a couple of decent results and then LAIC getting top eight at an internet. So I kind of like, all right, you could play this game. You're good. But to go back and touch like on like things that, you know what I mean? That stuff that I went through a hard time. Like I feel like I've been a trauma baby my whole life. Like I've grown up to like even now, like I just always there's always something. There's always something. And if you're going through anything, my message to you, there's always going to be something. You're never going to have a day where something is not gonna bother you usually. But it's the power to overcome the thoughts that bother you and focus on the positive aspects of it that will make you a better person or make you or allow yourself to achieve what you want to achieve. Because a lot of people will fall into a deep depression and forget and lose themselves right into that depression. It's a funnel. So you could drop down in the funnel and be at the bottom and can't get back up, right? But if you fight, that you might see that light. And once you see that light, you just follow it. You know what I mean? So, like I said, for those that are struggling out there, like I'm telling you, I've been through it all. I've been through all. I've lost my house. You know what I mean? I had a fallout with my mother, which everything's okay now. I've had a fallout with family, friends, this and the third, and everything's okay now. Things will happen in your life. I'm 26 years old. I was able to buy my first home at the age of 22. I was able to, find a career where I can financially take care of myself and potentially somebody else later on in life. And if you looked at me at the age of 19 or 20 or 21, you would look at me. If I were to tell myself back then that all this stuff would happen, I would look at you and tell you that you're lying. You know what I mean? Because that's how bad of a mind state where I was back then. But once I started seeing that light, you know what I mean? Because it gets dark. It gets very dark when you're in that funk. But once you start seeing that light and start seeing little things kind of go your way and little positive things, you start trying to be more positive. And then once you bring positivity to something or whatever you're doing, the more positive person you become. And that's why I always try to be a positive person on social media. I always try to like keep it positive because I want to spread that energy so it attracts other people to also want to be that positive light. And once everybody's lights start going on, the room's no longer dark. So.
Exactly. You're right. That's a mic drop right there, bro. You the t you don't know who you're inspiring with your fight. You don't know who you're inspiring when they see that you might be going through it, and then they see you the next time, you're a little bit better. They see you a few times after that, and you're a whole different person. That lets people know that, it's possible to get better, it's possible to feel better, it's possible to grow. And that's fantastic, dude.
Yeah, man. Damn, I haven't really, and it's good to talk about this because like sometimes like you just keep it to yourself. So like me talking to you right now, like I really, like I said, I really rarely ever talk about things like this. It's like this is like deep conversation that I have with my boys on Discord, like my like boys that I consider my family. Like I don't really like express myself too much outside of this. So it's like I'm getting that good feeling, like just letting it out. So sometimes you gotta just let it out. Cause like I said, I've been through it all, man. I'm telling you, if you guys are watching, if you had negative $100 in your account, I had negative 500.
Let's go.
If you didn't have, a car at one point and you lost your car, listen, I've been there too. If you met somebody who you thought was the love of your life and you was with them for X amount of years and you guys break up and you weren't the reason for it or whatever, you were the reason for it happens. It's life. What you need to do as a person is learn to understand everything happens for a reason. It could be the most terrible situation, but understand that this storm could only last for so long, so long. Be positive, cherish the people that cherish you, promote positivity, and I'm telling you, your whole life will change. Not saying the next day, not saying tomorrow, if you start walking around smiling and preaching, being a good person and stuff like that. That's just gonna change, but after time, you will definitely feel better as a person, and that's the message that I would put out there for sure.
Joshua Lorsey, my man. Mic drop there. That was the last question I was going to ask you, and you hit all the nails on the head with that, man. And I hope that someone out there listening, I always love to say, if you're out there listening, the messages that we get from great guests like Josh Lorsey here, there's always so much truth in it. And to just find it in you to keep going is just the number one thing. It's gonna get better.
For sure. And one thing I will say also too, I don't want like what's the message I want to put out there? Although yes, I'm this VGC, whatever. I don't want to a person. I don't even consider myself like I'm a normal person. I'm a normal person. Like you mean you, normal people. You could come if you see me at an event. And you saw this video and you want to talk to me. A lot of people are scared to approach me. I've gotten DMs and people telling me, like, hey, dude, I saw you in an event. I'm so scared to talk to you. This, that, and the third. I might have like a mean face. My face is usually just like, it's whatever.
It's
Don't
so
mind
true.
it. Yeah. But listen, I'm playing this game and I stream. That person that you see on stream is the same person you're gonna get when you say hi. I'm like, oh, what's up, yo? How nice to meet you. What's your name? This time and third. Oh, you watch my streams? Dope. Cool. You want to take a pic? Sure. Don't feel as though you can't take a pic with anybody in this community. I feel like for the most part, everybody's more so welcoming, and
Oh,
you know what I
yeah.
mean? So I want to tell you guys personally, like, yo, come up to me, say what's up. You see me at EOIC, you see me at Florida. Let's hang out, whatever, talk for a few. We'll talk about Pokemon. We can talk about anything. We can talk about stuff like this for a few minutes. I don't mind, you know what I mean? So that's the important thing. Don't feel as though don't be scared to say hi. Sometimes that hi could lead to a friendship that could last forever. So
Yes.
never know.
Beautiful. Yeah, man, just want to just say a lot of love, a lot of respect for you. Your story, as we have found, has sounded a lot like my own story. And, I just, there's always been this an aura about you since I've seen you in person. I was just like, I think I got to get to know this fella. And I'm really, really glad that I got to do some of that with you
No,
here
for
today,
sure.
Josh.
Like when we met, it was cool. Like I told me who you were, stuff like that. I was like, oh man, this guy's dope. And we actually sat down and played each
Oh, yeah,
other.
that's
Yeah, we
right.
sat down and played each other. And I would say it was a very intense match. It was in Toronto, I believe,
Yeah,
around
Toronto.
I want to say 6 or 7 or maybe 5, around that time. And like,
Yeah.
you know what I mean? If you feel as though, like I said, a message from me to you. I think that you're very good at this game. I played you and I was like, wow, this guy's, could be the next big thing. And I and if you ever felt or had any doubt, like, ah man,
Yeah.
maybe I should drop VGC or do Unite or whatever, I will tell you personally, I would say, keep playing this game. But think about Pokemon, whatever avenue you take, whether it be streaming, whether it be playing competitively, whether it's just being around the game, just in general, there's always going to be a what's the word? There's always going to be a win in the situation, whether
Yeah.
it be like you get into the competitive hump, making day two, you getting sponsored by Pokemon to go somewhere, whatever the case may be, something will come out of it. Like if you, like I said, if you told 6-year-old Joshua, who was just playing Pokemon Channel and playing all these games on the Game Boy, GameCube, that he would be here today, like being one of the most well-known competitive Pokemon VGC players to play at this moment, I would, like I said, I would look at you like you're crazy, but here we are today, you know what I mean?
There you
And
are.
so I just want to say, like, anything's possible, man. Anything's
Hey,
possible.
dude, I appreciate that a lot. I really do appreciate that a lot. That was a very fun game to get to play with you. And that was like my second or yeah, my third regional. And I was just like, oh shit, I gotta play more too.
I get that. I get that a lot. Everybody's like, "Oh my God, why do I gotta play you?" I'm like, "Listen, one tip that I'll give anybody. Listen, I my last run on LAS, we'll touch on this a little bit. I played
Yeah.
three, like basically, maybe I played two world champions, and I played Marco Silva, who's probably the best Pokemon player right now, arguably, right? And I beat all of them. And I'm just another black kid from Queens, man. That's all I say. Like
Yeah.
I'm just another regular, like just another kid. I listen. I'm not too articulate. I'm not the. I'm not, I don't know too much about the mechanics within the game. I'm very good at the game, but I don't know. I'm not like super nerdy about like the certain mechanics in the game. But if you find your footing and know what you're doing, anything's possible.
Yeah.
Anything's possible. And big shout out to those guys too. They've definitely encouraged me to want to play the game as well. So you could be who I am or better, or who you are or better in any aspect you approach Pokemon.
Beautiful. That's what's up, Jeff. Thanks so much for that. And I love just love that encouragement. I can see it all over your face. You putting out that out there authentically. Last question. What are you most excited for next in the world of Pokemon?
Man, okay, so two things. I've been doing a little casting, so I'm hopefully
Okay.
could potentially try to become a caster at one point. I think it's important. Representation matters, and I think that
Yes.
the lack of diversity when it comes to the African Americans that aren't a part of the streaming and casting group, just in Pokemon in general, is something that we as the black community need to break that boundary. When it comes to playing, I feel like a lot of us have broken that boundary for the most part. I'm very known, well-known players that helped achieve that was Kamal Harris back in the day, very good player. Bad Intent back in the day, very good player, regional champion. Well, I think 3-time regional champion back in the day. These are guys that came before me and that I viewed like, damn, these guys are good. I want to be as good as them, kind of thing. And especially because they're African American and black. Then I came along, and then there was Jeremy Odina, and then there's everybody knows Emilio, one of the best Pokemon players to ever touch this game, with basically goes 9-0 at every event that he basically attends. And we broke that barrier. Like we could play this game, and then there's more of us that are playing now than ever, which is amazing. So that's really dope to see. But now I think as my duty as a representation of us, I think that I need to try to keep breaking this barrier of like showing people like, yes, it's possible to play VGC, but it's also a commentate VGC. And if I could break that barrier and help that one person sitting at home, like, oh my God, he was sitting on a chair and now he's at the casting table. This is crazy. I want to be a part of this too, kind of thing. And I can't count how many times somebody Black Spanish came up to me and said, yo, like seeing you on stream is the reason why I came to this event. Like I didn't know nothing about VGC, but I know your name. And just seeing you made me want to come to Charlotte or whatever, Knoxville, whatever the case may be. And it's like almost every event now, like I'm just seeing this. Yo, I watch your streams, like I really appreciate you. You taught me a lot. Like this is the reason why I'm here today. And I appreciate it. And I feel like hearing these messages has given me the motivation to try to break that boundary when it comes to commentary. Like I said, I'm not the most articulate person. I know that that's a job that takes a lot of skill and working on it, you know what I mean? But I think that I will be able to accomplish being a good commentator just because I know a lot about the game from a very meta standpoint. So it's like I could give off a lot of good information and give off a lot of thought process while, you know, being at the same time being a good commentator. So we'll see what happens. I'm not saying I will be one. I don't know. But if it's possible, definitely, I will definitely take the opportunity and try to represent us in that aspect.
Bro, I gotta say, you being on Twitch definitely encouraged me to be on Twitch. It definitely was like, oh, there definitely is room to do this, and there's somebody doing it, so I feel confident that it's possible. It's great to see like a Black streamer doing well and whatnot. Super dope. I definitely think you do it competition wise, and I think that's an amazing next step to get in the commentator's table. I think you got the energy for it, and you definitely have the words for it, whether you realize it or not. And you definitely know you got the knowledge for it. It's gonna be super
I appreciate
dynamic,
it.
super
I appreciate it.
dynamic.
But I appreciate it, man. And like I said, I appreciate you having me here, man. I know we tried to set it up earlier. I was in a busy stage, but I'm glad we got to do this. I'm glad we got to make time for this. I think that this is a dope interview. Definitely touched me a little bit because it's just like I said, I don't talk about these things like this. And when I do talk about it, I get that feeling. I'm like, damn, like sometimes it's good to just air things out. And like I said, you're doing great work. I've been paying attention to a couple of the stuff that you've been doing. A lot of great hurt or work and focusing a lot on men's health. Like a lot of this stuff is not talking about. Men, if you're suffering out there, just know that there's people out there that you could reach, whether it be within this community, outside, there's always somebody to talk to. Like I said, we're in a generation of where people are the most caring, most interested in people's well-being, mentally. So phone a friend, talk to a stranger. So talk if you need somebody to talk to, there's always going to be somebody to talk to, I would say. Whether you feel very uncomfortable or it might bother you, sometimes it's just good to air it out and have that just whoo, feeling, just let it out sometimes. So that's pretty much all I gotta say.
Beautiful. And definitely want to, extend that to everyone as well. I am one of those people who is definitely very interested in talking to you if you ever need some support. I want to extend that to you as well,
I
Lorsey.
appreciate
If
it.
you ever, need to, hit that feeling again, I'm right here. Even if it's just to listen, I'm real good at that. If you ever need any sort of advice, anything, I could be okay at that sometimes too.
Okay. No, I appreciate it. I'll definitely reach out. I realize we have a lot more in common than I thought. So that'd be pretty dope to kind of just talk to you for a bit.
For sure, for sure. We'll make it happen, brother. Thanks so
All
much for
right.
joining me. Hope you have a great rest of your day.
You too, brother. Thank you. Peace. Appreciate it.
Ah, guys, that was one of my favorite chats yet. Just to see our conversation unfold and see the similarities that myself and Lorsey shared were just super cool. Just raised by women, former police officers, inner city youth in big cities. There's a lot of similarities, and I love these conversations because we get to learn those things. But when you see someone and you got just that much affinity, it's really cool. Just from the first time I ran into Josh Lorsey, I could tell I feel like there's something in alignment here, and just wanted to get to know him and It's been cool to get to share a conversation with them, see them at regionals, and all that good stuff. I'm looking forward to connecting with you again, brother, and I hope you are staying safe out there. Once again, folks, if you have any young trainers in your life, remember, you have out-school classes out there now where I am teaching kids how to meditate and use that meditation skill to help them manage their stress, manage their anxieties, while also playing the game, which we know at any level, there happens to be a lot of, if you're emotionally invested in this game, you will be experiencing some of that stress. But I believe that's part of why we love to play this thing as well. As always, friends, thank you so much for joining me here. Be back with you next week. Talk soon.